That's extremely encouraging, and I've felt and sensed and know your support and prayers all through this whole ordeal. Trust me, it's been very difficult to get through, yet impossible, apart from the Lord first, and secondly, apart from your support and your prayers. And our pastor and his wife have just been phenomenal, and I appreciate it very much. We're going to get to Ezekiel chapter 37. If you would turn there, Ezekiel 37th chapter. I'll get there in just a second, but a couple of opening comments that I must make. You all are aware, April 16th, as Pastor said, I had open heart surgery to replace an aortic valve. Basically, that entailed an 8-inch incision from here to here. And then after they opened me up, then they would cut through the sternum bone and separate that, put a bungee cord on one side and one on the other side and pull. Just kidding about the bungee cord. But they would open that up, and then they would put me on a heart and a bypass machine because they had to deflate both lungs, I understand, to make, you know, room for whatever reason. The valve replacement necessitated going down in the middle of the heart. It wasn't on the outside, it's on the inside. So then they would go up to the aorta, which is the main vessel coming out of the heart with the oxygenated blood, and they would cut into the aorta, and then they'd go down into the heart through the aorta and cut out the bad valve and put in the new valve, I understand. Obviously, I didn't witness any of this, but and then closed me up. And Dr. Jones, who's told us personally that he's done over 10,000 of these operations, said that this was the worst valve he had ever seen. And it was a half centimeter, and he replaced it with a 3-centimeter. So I stand here today with 250% more blood flow. I don't know if that's bad for me or bad for you, but... You know, I'm told they had a number of valves to pick from when they put this in, and, you know, I mean, laid out on this little cart or tray or whatever, and I'm thinking, you know, how do they pick the valve? I mean, do they pick it like a vegetables? I mean, you know, to look at it and say, ooh, look at the color of that one. Like, or tap on one, you know, and see, ooh, that sounds good, just like a watermelon. I mean, you know, pig or cow, how do they pick? I'm told I'm all pig. And I thought, what about the ones not chosen? I mean, you know, there are 12 valves there, you know, that animals have given their lives for. You know, what do you say? Sorry. Thank you. About a week, you'll get that about lunchtime. About a week home, I had this incredible desire to eat a brat. I'm sorry. Oh, it was just... And Christine said, now, honey, that's got all kinds of sodium in it, all kinds of fat. You can't eat that. I said, hey, the way I look at it, I usually eat 3 brats. So if I eat 1 brat, I've cut my sodium and my fat by 2/3. And then as I took my first bite, I thought, what's going to happen? This is a pig valve in there. It's like pumping blood. Hey, that's Wilbur. Have a heart attack right there as I chewed my first bite and swallowed. But then I realized, no, food don't go through that valve, blood does. So then I was okay. Most people don't have the opportunity to publicly thank everybody for notes and cards, and Pastor graciously gave me that opportunity a few weeks back. But only select individuals have the opportunity to stand in the pulpit and read their funniest card. Well, today I happen to be in the pulpit, so funniest card I received looked like this. As they say down on the farm, you cured yet? Oh, that wasn't the funny part. What was funny is what was written by hand on the left side of the card. It says this. The first pig went to the market, the second pig stayed home. The third pig ate roast beef, and the fourth pig had none. And the fifth pig said, I'm giving my valve to Pastor Pat Roosh so that he can love God and his wife and his family and friends for a long, long time. And everyone said, thank you, little piggy. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Ooh, yeah, I laughed out loud till it hurt. Well, on a more serious note, something else most people don't have the opportunity to do, and that is to publicly thank all the medical people, doctors, nurses, therapists, physicians, assistants, and so many others that have provided me with the absolute stellar care during my surgery and my recovery. And Christine and I have invited about 30 of these medical people to attend the service today. Some were able to be here. Others will be listening online or to CDs. I don't know how often you folks are publicly thanked for the work you do in the medical field. I do know that I stand here today very grateful to each one of you and wanted to publicly say, as I know many of you would, given the opportunity, the people that have cared for you, I want to publicly say thank you to each one. Congregation, would you join me in giving these medical people a Royal Christian Celebration Center thank you? Thank you. Well, the message today has been brewing for a long time before surgery. A very important piece came together during the recovery. Ezekiel 37th chapter, I want to read together the first three verses, and then we're going to bounce around a little bit between verse 1 and verse 11 and jump around just a bit. First three verses, Ezekiel 37, Valley of Dry Bones, says this: "The hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. He led me back and forth among them, and I saw a great many bones on the floor of the valley, bones that were very dry. And he asked me, 'Son of man, can these bones live?'" Lord, I pray that you would attend to your word today and perform it just as you promised you would. In Jesus' name, amen. Our story takes place around 550 B.C. after Israel's golden years with David and Solomon. You know, Solomon's son divided the kingdom and under Solomon's sons, and there was a great falling away of the people from God and subsequent judgments that came, all that the prophet warned about. The northern kingdom of Israel at the time was destroyed by Assyria around 722 B.C. in the southern kingdom. A couple hundred years later, under Judah, Jerusalem, and Jerusalem as the capital, was destroyed by Babylon around 586 B.C. And at that time, thousands of exiles were carried off to Babylon, including King Jehoiachin and the prophets Daniel and Ezekiel. Now, I don't know if we can really grasp the pain of all of that. I mean, imagine if you were to go home or go out into the parking lot after church and there would be military buses there waiting you and people with AK-47s ushering you into the buses. And you wouldn't maybe know where your kids were at. Maybe they didn't come to church today. Maybe they aren't churchgoers. Maybe they live halfway across the country. And, you know, you're thinking about where are they taking us? And then you discover that our government has been overrun by this foreign power. And you're herded onto the buses, and you're taken out to the airport, and you board a plane, and you fly for 23 hours to get on the other side of the world. And you're thinking to yourself, "Hey, I had a roast on." I mean, you're thinking to yourself, "Where are my kids?" And it dawns on you that you don't have a bank account anymore. You don't have a house. The last time your hand touched your oven handle to put the roast in was the last time that you will ever touch it. Your house is gone. Your cars are gone. Your bank account is irrelevant, and you find yourself in a foreign place. Now, fast forward the clocks 50 years, and your life in America is a distant memory. And your hope, it's gone. That was the case with these exiles who were dragged from Jerusalem by force and carried off into Babylon. Prophet Ezekiel is now speaking to them. And God is speaking through Ezekiel a message of promise, of restoration, and of hope. Now, it's important to understand as we look at this passage, this appears as a nice, neat little story. The prophet, if you know the story, he prophesies and flesh comes upon the bones and the spirit comes in and they stand up a vast army and wow, what a great story. It's important that you understand that as an apocalyptic vision, this is a story that has been unfolding now for 2,500 years. The restoration began shortly after the writing of this, or shortly after this time period when Cyrus decreed that the Jews should return to their homeland. And there's been little fulfillments all through history. But yet at the end of chapter 37 is yet something to come in our future. So this promise that was released that day was a 2,500-year-in-the-making process. Now that's important for this reason, and it's our first truth today. God's work of restoration in our lives is most often not accomplished in a moment or in a day, but as a process worked out over a lifetime of trusting God. And it reminds us that not only is God the God of history, God is the God of our future. And if God is the God of history and God is the God of our future, He is also the God of the present. And whatever He promises you and I today, He will bring it to pass. Praise the Lord. In verse 11, the bones are identified. So then He said to me, "Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel, the exiles." Not just the Babylonian exiles, but all the exiles. Listen to what they are saying. Now notice the bones are now describing themselves. They say, "Our bones have become old," New Living Translation, "are dried up and all of our hope is gone. We're completely cut off. There's nothing left of us." The New Living says, "Our nation is finished." We understand that they felt that way. Look at some of those words. Dried means to be completely withered as plants in a severe drought. Hope is the anticipation that something is good, something good is going to happen. It's the same word used in Joshua 2 of the red cord that they instructed Rahab to hang out of her walled apartment to protect her when Israel destroyed the town. That hope, that cord, that was her hope that she'd be saved. It says, "Our hope is gone." We're cut off means to be irreversible, permanent hopelessness. Same word that's used of the dividing of the baby under Solomon. It's irreversible. Or when you cut down a tree, you can't take the tree and set it back on the stump. Irreversible. We all have dry bones in our lives. Maybe there are things are unraveling in your marriage and the dream of finishing with your partner that you began with is beginning to turn to dust. Maybe a single parent trying to raise kids on your own and work and school, it's wearing you out and you just feel dried up. You feel the end of yourself. Maybe as a couple you've come to the conclusion that we may never have children and that hope seems so hopeless. Or your parents may not get back together. Maybe your dry bones today are a struggle with your health, with your finances, a dead-end job or no job at all. Maybe you're in midlife and it's dawning on you that you're not going to be ready for retirement and there's nothing you can do about it. An unfulfilled dream could be your dry bones. Dreams that you've had of ministry or college one day or some dream job that it may never come to pass and it feels dried up within you. The Lord set Ezekiel, I love this, down in the middle of the valley. Look at that, verse 1. You see, He didn't tell Ezekiel, "Oh, look the other way. That's too painful." Ignore the bones. Deny them. Pretend they're not there. No, he set him right down in the middle of the muddle, right down in the middle of the dry bones, the worst possible place he could be. He said, look. Furthermore, dry bones were not old sticks in the mud that probably were better off dead anyway. If you look at verse 9 and 10, you see there were slain warriors. These were valiant people who should have been recipients of honor and held in high esteem and respected and celebrated. Remember, the exiles were God's people. It included kings and leaders and prominent citizens. See, as you consider the dry bones in your life, part of the irony, part of the pain, is that they're often the very things that were supposed to be great. Marriage, job, children, spouse, relationships, and dreams. All those things that should be highlights in life are now some of the most challenging. And your anticipation and your hope is struck. That was these people. Then he asked me, verse 3, son of man, can these bones all around, can these bones live? And he comes to you and to me today concerning the dry bones in our lives, whatever it is that needs restoration or intervention or hopes and dreams that we may have given up on years ago. And he asks us the same thing today. Can those bones live? Truth. When he asks you a question, it's usually indicating that he's about to do something amazing. You know, when God asks you a question, it's not because he doesn't know the answer. And if it's going to be bad news, he wouldn't bring it up. So when God comes to you and says, can these bones live? Stop a second before you answer and think about it. This is an invitation to trust him to do something that only he can do. Don't miss it. Don't ignore it. If today, as I was just speaking what I was speaking, something came to your mind, don't immediately say, oh, that's just never going to happen. I've been hoping for that for years. Don't do that. Because if the Holy Spirit is bringing it to your mind today, he is intending to do something amazing. If dry bones are going to live again, we have to do a couple of things. We have to consider God. We have to consider God. His perspective, his ability. When you bring God into the equation, it changes everything. Hebrews 11:11, God promised to make Abraham the father of many nations, yet no evidence appeared for years. Here's what the Bible says. By faith, Abraham, even though he was past age, Sarah herself was barren, was enabled to become the father or a father because, enabled because he, what's the word? Because he considered God to be faithful who had made the promise. Consider God. Whether it's Moses at the Red Sea with the Egyptians in pursuit, or David in the Valley of Elah opposing Goliath, whether it's Peter on the day of Pentecost, or Paul and Silas in prison, or Ezekiel in the Valley of Dry Bones, or you and I facing circumstances that seem impossible and unchangeable, the faith required to face our situation with hope will only come as we consider God. And if he's bringing it up, it's an invitation to us. Can these bones live? Consider God. Number two, answer the call. Answer the call. Notice again verse 11. They say, we're dried up. Hope is gone, cut off. Remember, these were exiles. You know what? Ezekiel was one of them. See, Ezekiel could have been right there with them saying, yep, you know, I'm dried up too. Yep, my hope's gone too. Yeah, I can know. I know we're cut off. He was one of them. But he was unwilling to simply accept what the dry bones around him were saying. Instead, he stood up and responded in faith to God's call. Not faith in his own ability, not some passive, presumptuous faith that somehow things will just work out, but faith in the ability of an all-powerful, almighty, sovereign God. When you truly begin to consider God, faith begins to rise and you begin to develop a holy discontent about the dry bones in the valley all around you, and you answer the call. You think a few years after this, Nehemiah, he answered the call when he was the cupbearer to the king, and he got the report that the walls were still in ruin. He fasted, he prayed, he wept, and he went. David answered the call when he went out to the battlefield with lunch, and he saw Goliath, and he said, "Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of God?" And he rose up among the dry bones and he said, "Not me. I'm not going to be that way. Because I see no reason why that Philistine ought to defy God." And he rose up with the faith that God gave him. And you know the rest of the story. As you think about your life and your family, your job, your community, our nation, as the Holy Spirit brings those dry bones to your mind and you hear the question, "Can these bones live?" Answer the call. Let your faith rise up and refuse to let that hope go. Don't just accept what the dry bones are saying. Put your faith instead in what God is saying. And here's what he said, verse 4. He said to me, "Prophesy over these bones and say to them, dry bones, hear. Listen to the word of the Lord." The word "hear" there means to listen with an intent to respond and obey. I love that. That's what he's saying to the bones. "You bones, you better listen. And you better listen and learn like obeying." That's what he's saying to the bones. He's commanding the bones to hear. Wow. This is what the sovereign master says, verse 5, to these bones. Now, who's saying this? Who's saying this? God is saying this through Ezekiel. God says, "Watch this, bones, look. Pay attention." He's saying to the dead bones. I mean, isn't there things in your life that's hopeless and dead that you would that God would come and speak to that death? Yes. And say, "Listen to me." Yes. Whew, this is what God promises. He said, "Look, I will make breath and the spirit of life enter you, and you will come alive again." "I will," he said, not the prophet, not circumstances, not fate, luck, or chance. Right. He may choose to use many things and often does, but only God can make dead bones live again. Circumstances can change and people may fall short and let you down, but when God sets his hand to a task, nothing can stop it. He says in verse 6, I will attach tendons, muscles, sinew to you and make flesh come upon you and cover you with skin. I will, he said, put breath of life and spirit in you, and you will come to life. That "you" there is emphatic. That means God is speaking to our bones and he's saying, "I'm going to put spirit in you, and you dry bones. You dry bones are going to come to life." That's God speaking. He said, "You, when I was laying in bed with tubes coming out of me, you, Pat Roosh, will come to life. You, Dick Armstrong, will come to life." God speaking to the bones that were helpless. "You, Alice Frollo. And you, Luis Gonzalez. And you, crumbling marriage and wayward child and single mom who are tired. You that are hopeless. You will come to life." So I prophesied, verse 7, as I was commanded, just as he told me. Consider God, answer the call, and number three, do what he tells you to do. Do what he tells you to do. I know it's always appropriate to prophetically declare God's truth over our dry bones. We're going to get to that. But before we get to the power of what he said, let's not miss the fact that even before he said what he said, Ezekiel made a simple decision to just do whatever God told him to do. A simple act of obedience. See, if you're believing God to restore a family member, God may ask you to release your faith and take a simple step and just offer your help to them sometimes that when they need it. Take the initiative, make a call. If your marriage is in trouble, maybe you should humble yourself. Say you're in the wrong, pray, serve, agree to go to counseling. Whatever it is, simple little act of obedience that could trigger the unlimited power of God. If your job's a problem, go the extra mile. Make your boss look good. I try to do that often. If you're concerned, I am shocked that you didn't say something right there. I left a pause for you and everything.
All I could think to say was oink, oink.
Oh, Lord. And I lost my place. If you're concerned about our nation and our community, you know what? Get involved. Pray for leaders. Write a letter. Give a compliment. Don't just do something. Get this. Don't just do something. Do what God tells you to do. Never underestimate the power of taking one simple step of obedience. Truth. One step of faith can be the tipping point that changes history and alters the trajectory of your entire life. And can I say it this way? The trigger that releases the power of God into the midst of your dry bones. You see this everywhere in Scripture. Noah built an ark. Abraham surrendered Isaac. The Hebrews marched forward and passed through on dry ground. Joshua circled the walls of Jericho and shouted. Jonathan scaled the mountain to fight the Philistines. David charged Goliath. Zacchaeus climbed a sycamore tree to see Jesus. The woman with the issue of blood reached out and touched Jesus' garment. Peter got out of the boat to walk on water. Ananias laid his hands on Saul. And we have the three quarters of the New Testament because of Paul. Simple act of obedience. Ezekiel opened his mouth and said what God said that he should say. Now, he didn't just talk. Thankfully, he didn't just console the bones. Oh, yes, I know. You're dried up. I'm so sorry. I know. Oh, the pain you must be in. Oh, I feel for you. And he didn't say, all things work together for good. No, he declared the word of the Lord. The final truth of the day. God's word has divine power to impact any circumstance and bring it into conformity with God's purpose. Do you believe that? Hebrews 4:12 says that, for the word of God is living, it's alive, it possesses a life of its own, it's active, it's energy. Like sticking your finger in the socket. That's God's word. Every one of them. It's alive. Isaiah 55, you know this well. He says, as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth, so my word is that goes out from my mouth, he said. It will not return to me empty, but it'll accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. Whatever you or a loved one face, whatever impossible circumstance you find yourself in this morning, get into his word. Go to a concordance and dig out, put together what God is saying about your dry bones. Read these scriptures, meditate on them. Believe each word. But do a Pastor Joel Stocker and read it with the emphasis on this word, and then read it with the emphasis on this word, and then read it with the emphasis on this word, because they're all alive. And then open your mouth and declare his word over your dry bones and into the midst of your impossible situations, knowing that every word in the Bible is filled with the breath and power of Almighty God. And I give you an invitation this morning. If you don't know how to do that, if you don't know how to go to the concordance and come up with scriptures for your dead bones to declare, hey, you email me this week. I don't care if I get one person or if I get 500 people. It's summer. We'll figure out a time and I'll show you how to do it. Because you've got to know this. In preparation for enduring and following my heart surgery, I was given over 100 verses of scripture that the Lord told me, here's my simple step of obedience, I guess, to write them down. Take them out of the cards and put them all in one place, a list. Shh. If I got a word on the text, I'd put them in there. If somebody spoke a word to me, I'd put it in there. Made a list, about 100. The Lord told me, read them over and over, unpack and embrace the truth of every word. Although I did, I didn't realize at the time that it would save my life. Here's just a few of those scriptures. My heart is fixed, O God. My heart is steadfast and confident. That means stable and immovable. That's a good thing to have when you're praying that your heart rate stabilizes. So I will not fear. I'm reading these scriptures, for God is with me. I will not be dismayed, for you are my God. You will strengthen me. And as you read it, it's yes. Receive that strength. And I'd lay there and I would say, yes, Lord, strength, 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 strength. I mean, I could barely, you know, make it around the hallway one time. Strength, 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 strength. And help me, help, help, help. And then drink it in. Receive it. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God, you are the strength of my heart and my portion forever. And one of my favorites, Malachi 4, it says, but you who revere my name, the Son of Righteousness will rise with healing in his wings. Yes, Lord. And you will go out and leap like calves from the stall. I can do that today. I can leap like calves from the stall. Yeah. Oh, you know, I love this verse, but I love it most in the message. It says, you will be bursting with energy like colts, frisky and frolicking. Hey, honey, it's what the Bible says. Every promise in the book is mine. I keep forgetting this is Sunday morning and there are people around. All right, one of my follow-up appointments, this reminds me. I sat down, I can't remember who it was. I can't remember, Elizabeth, if it was you or not. They were going over a list of things that I could do now because time had passed. And said, well, now you can go in the hot tub now. And you can, you know, lift a couple more pounds. And you can have sex. You can have sex. Yeah, well, if you need Viagra. And I looked up at her and I said, 250% more blood flow. What do you think? Oh. Oh, yes. Okay. Yes. It's getting warm in here. Just me. I think my heart rate's off right now. Okay. But he whose hope is in the Lord will renew their strength. Thank God. They will soar on wings as eagles. You notice that was in our worship this morning, that very phrase? They will run. Now, I'm up to 3 miles so far. I don't run the whole thing, but I walk and jog and walk and jog. 3 miles. That's a promise from the Lord. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and will not pass out on the pavement. Glory to God. And my favorite one of all, Psalm 118, I will live and not die. I will proclaim what the Lord has done. And that's exactly what I'm doing today. Pastor Leon and the choir, and would you come, and magicians, I mean, musicians. Magicians can stay in their seats a little longer. If you can, just try to focus on me. As you look into the valley of your life, your family, your hopes, your dreams, you got any dry bones? Consider God. Answer the call. Do what he tells you to do. Rise up in faith and declare the truth of God's word over your situation. And listen, as we do that, not before, not after, as we do that. Look, Ezekiel said, as I was prophesying, there was a noise, a shaking, a trembling, a rattling sound, a rustling, thundering noise all across the valley. And the bones of each body, I love that. He doesn't leave anybody out. You might be here today and you're thinking about dry bones. You think, oh, I'm just me and it's no big deal. And I'm just thought, no, but I'm just, you know. No. Every body. The bones of each body moved and came together, bone to its bone, and attached themselves as complete skeletons. Look at the definition for noise or shaking. It's an earthquake, a rumbling, commotion, a shaking of a war horse engaged in battle. Think about that. I don't know how they sound. Engaged in battle. The noise of the rolling chariot wheels hastening into battle. Roar and a commotion and the clatter of battle itself. Think about that. Thousands of chariot wheels. Horses. Your mama wears combat boots. You know, whatever. It's just wow. I could have got a CD and played the audio of that, but it wouldn't be as much fun. As I was prophesying, as you declare the word of God, as I laid in bed and took those scriptures to myself, as I was prophesying, the shaking came. The bones came together, the tendons and flesh and skin. And finally, the Lord said, come from the four winds, O breath, O spirit of life, and breathe into these slain. I thought about that. The spirit came from the north and the south and the east and the west. God sends his help from every direction as we prophesy over the bones. And they stood up a vast army. If you will obey the mighty God, the master, the king of the universe, and if you will say what he tells you to say and do what he tells you to do and engage your faith and speak his word into the dead, dry, dusty places in the valleys of your life, be assured today, every one of you, be assured there will come a shaking. There will come a roar and a thundering in the unseen realm that will echo across the valley and confront the powers of darkness that hold these things in their merciless death grip. And those bones, those dreams, those circumstances, dead and dry and hopeless as they may seem, will begin to shift and move in the dust at your feet. Why? Because when you move in faith at God's invitation and declare his word, he gets involved and sends his remedy on the wings of his spirit from every direction. And the very things that seem to be the weakest in your life, when revived by the Spirit of the living God, will come together and stand up as a vast army, capable, strong, and effective. So this morning, as you look into the valley of your life, I want to ask one more time, can those bones live? I believe they can if God is involved. Would you stand to your feet, please? I want to close this prayer in prayer at the altar. And I'm going to ask you to just begin to make your way forward. I want everybody to just come. We're going to close up here. You'll understand in a minute. Just begin to come quickly, please. Just come up, just right up, pack as tight as you can, please. Those in the balcony, please come down. And if the aisles are all full when you get down here, that's okay. Move into the pews as close as you can get to the front. Because I want to have everybody here together as we do this, because we're gonna prophesy over dead bones in our life. And very clearly, you don't have to go far to find them. You know, if you haven't already been becoming fruitful as to what the bones in your life might be, I mean, you heard just the announcement this morning is enough to give us some dry bones to declare over, isn't it? Everybody has dry bones in their lives, their family structures, at work, and various places. And then as you come forward, then once you get to a stopping point, just try, those of you that are like right at the front, second, two, three pews, just move right into the pews. So that'll open that line up for more people to come forward, okay? Just move right into the pews there. That's it, so we can all get as close as we can. Come on. This is not going to take long, but it's going to be one of the most powerful things that you will experience in your life because God is here. No other reason, but the Holy Spirit desires to do something right now in your life that will change the trajectory of everything that you have been experiencing. I'm closing this way because of what happened the first night home from the hospital after surgery. I'm convinced that I almost died that night. Now, I don't know medically. Maybe I was just a wimp, and medically I wasn't almost dying. But I got to tell you, I was convinced that I was laying there and about to die. First night home. Started with a hot ice pick in my heart area. And I thought, wow, that kind of hurts. And I just began to rub it, and Christine said, what's the matter? I said, I don't know, this kind of hurts. And then my breathing began to get labored, and I felt like I was suffocating, and I just couldn't get my breath. And then that hot ice pick turned into a hot knife, and it got worse and worse, and I to the point where I was holding my chest like this, laying there in my bed. And I said, honey, I said, come and pray for me. I need you to come and pray for me right now. And I know what was going through her mind. You know, probably the same thing was going through my mind. Dear God, I made it successfully through the surgery, and now I'm going to die on my bed. And you know, memories, I'm sure, for her, her mama and her daddy and her brother that just passed very recently. And it was a scary moment. And she started to pray, and then I handed Christy my phone. Christy was right up the side of the bed, right by my head. I handed Christy my phone, and I said, honey, I said, here are those scriptures. Thank God that I was obedient to write them all down. said, here are those scriptures, honey. I want you just to declare those over me as I lay here. And so she picked up my phone and she started reading one after another after another. And I just laid there, just drinking them in, just drinking them in, just believing God, every word is full of life and power. Every word, God. And I just drank it in. And then I had remembered that Patricia had sent me a video of the choir singing. The Sunday, I think it was the Sunday right after my surgery. I was still in the hospital. And she sent me a little video clip in the choir, of the choir. When I heard that Sunday in the hospital, the audio, of course, you know, on those aren't the greatest. So I downloaded the live version from YouTube. So I had it on my phone. And it was the song In Jesus' Name by Darlene Check. And I helped Christy find it on my phone. And I said, okay, now I want you to hit play and play that over me. Hold that over me and just let it prophesy to me. Let it play over me. And the words are powerful. I hear in my head the song, God is fighting for us. God is on our side. He has overcome. Yes, he is overcome. I'm laying there holding my chest and trying to breathe, and I'm hearing these words. I will not be shaken. I will not be moved. Jesus, you are here. And about the second time through, Jesus, you are here, the Spirit of Jesus just filled the room. And I knew that God was there. I could feel his presence, carrying our burdens, covering our shame. He has overcome. Yes, he has overcome. So I will not be shaken. And then they kick into the chorus. It's that same scripture. I will live. I will not die. The resurrection power of Christ alive in me, and I am free in Jesus' name. I will live and I will not die. I will declare and lift you high. Christ revealed, I am healed in Jesus' name. They go through the song once, and then Darlene Check to this live audience. She says to the crowd, we're going to play this again and we're going to sing over you. Telling this to the crowd. He says, and if you're suffering and if you have been given a death sentence from the doctor, we're going to sing these words straight from the Word of God. And in the name of Jesus, sickness has to bow. It has to flee. We declare, she said, to anyone listening to this music tonight, and I was, we declare the finished work of Christ in this place. We declare that Jesus paid the price. We declare that there is healing in Jesus' name. We sing it out. And as she's prophesying, the percussion begins to kick in, getting ready to sing that over the people. And it was intense. And it was boo, 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 boo. And as that percussion began to kick in, and as she prophesied over me, my heart rate, which was totally irregular, began to align itself to the beat of the song. And then I heard the words, God is fighting for us, pushing back the darkness, lighting up the kingdom that cannot be shaken. And in the name of Jesus, enemies defeated. And we will shout it out. Shout it out. Over the next 3 hours, everything began to normalize as I laid there and praised God and prayed. The anxiety was gone. The breathing was normal. The heart rate then slowed down. And the Holy Spirit said to me, as he brought this message to my mind, he said, that's how I want to end. He said, I want you to have the people come and sing and speak life in my name over their dry bones. And I'm going to move. And I immediately got concerned because I'm not a music guy, but Pastor Leon, I understand there are some songs that aren't real conducive to do at the end of a service because of how complex they would be musically. I was concerned, so I came in and I met with Pastor Leon and shared with him what I just shared with you. He said, you need to come talk to the choir. And so that was when the choir was still on, so I snuck in the back door on Wednesday night, spoke to the choir for about 10 minutes, and then left. And the choir wanted to be a part of this. The choir wanted to stand with you today in the closing moments of this service and prophesy over you and with you concerning your dry bones. And here we are. Pastor Leon, choir, would you lead us? And would you bring the dry bones right now to a place in your mind where you will speak over them and you will declare life over them? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, shut it up.
Oh,
pray a prayer over you before you go. So here we stand, Lord, at your invitation to come boldly to the throne of grace to find help in our time of need. And we believe that you are sending it today from every direction. You are a God of restoration, and as you work this process of restoration in us and in our circumstances, help us by your grace to wait in faith and be careful to obey any prompting concerning anything you may ask us to do to cooperate with your work. And in Jesus' name, we will no longer simply repeat in our mind or on our lips the faithless report of the dry bones around us. Draw us into your word. Empower us to declare what you say in our situations. We believe you love us, you want your best for us, and have made every provision for us through Jesus Christ. And our faith has been stirred this morning as we are reminded that we serve a God who is almighty and fully able to make the impossible possible, the immovable movable, and those bones in our lives that are as dead live again. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Thank you, Pastor Leon. Thank you, choir. We appreciate them. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Ezekiel 37 concludes by saying, "My dwelling place will be with them. I will be their God, and they will be my people. And then the nations will know that I am the Lord. Israel I've made holy when my sanctuary is among them forever." Pray the Lord would bless you and keep you, and the Lord would make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. I pray that all of us would live with the fresh prophecies of God being spoken over our lives, in our going out and our coming in our lying down and in our rising up, in our labor and in our leisure, in our laughter and in our tears, until we'll come to a day where we will stand in his presence. And for eternity, we will live under his prophecies. You leave victorious today. Have a good day. God bless you.